God give me the disassociative abilities of Vanilla Ice.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face. We are an irreverent podcast about the music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I am Dan.
And this is episode 148, and I did the intro right this time, so, you know, no flaws. We have some music for you guys. We have albums from Pop Smoke, RIP, Fiona Apple, and UV's Tumor. Also, we have a single by Kanye West and Travis Scott. But yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Any other opinions?
As far as the reviews and stuff goes for this week, Pop Smoke is a posthumous album that came out from Pop Smoke.
Yes.
He died earlier.
Died in February, I believe.
Yeah. Definitely in the past.
It was before COVID.
Yeah, it was so. February 19th.
February,
so like, completely time does not matter anymore. So we have that posthumous album. Otherwise, this time of the year is pretty light for music releases otherwise. So Sean and I brought some things back from earlier in the year.
Yes.
One album each that we both really want to talk about.
Because Fiona Apple's Fetch the Vocoders came out in April, I believe.
Yes.
And UV's Tumor, Heaven to a Tortured Mind came out in March. Sure. Yes. March or April, around that time as well.
Yeah.
That was when we had so many releases and stuff, and it got overlooked, but I'm like, we gotta go back and talk about these albums.
Yeah. absolutely. So, let's start. Absolutely. We've also got some other associated Kanye West news, which we'll get to in a moment, but this is a music podcast. We'll talk about the music first. And let's get into the single, Wash Us in the Blood by Kanye West featuring Travis Scott. Holy Spirit, come down. Holy Spirit, come down. Come down. Holy Spirit, help now. Way down. Holy Spirit, help now. Holy Spirit, come down. Holy Spirit, come down. Hey. Holy Spirit, help now. Come down. Holy Spirit, help now. Wash us in the blood. Whole life being thugs. No choice selling drugs. Genocide, what it does. Mass incarceration, what it does. Cost of cost, what it does. Another life being lost. Let it out, set it off. Execution 30 states. This is definitely a return to production-wise, like Yeezus-style, Yeezus era, Kanye West, where it's very experimental with percussion.
Which I like more, for sure. I was going to say, I do enjoy the production of this a lot more than a lot of his latest works. Like some of the stuff in Kids See Ghost, you can kind of get a little of that feel too, but some of it was lacking. That might have been his last thing that he made that I would like. But this is, okay, we can hear the production. I like the experimentalness of a lot of his music. But then the lyrics are awful. And Travis Scott's part is atrocious. Because the auto-tune that Travis Scott tends to do in general, especially in the song, it completely throws off the whole like theme of the song and whatnot in it. Even though before, like within the lyrics, I didn't really like it per se, but like I could go, okay, it's not terrible. But then Travis Scott's part come in, I'm like, wow, you just like completely derailed the song to
yeah.
me.
It was kind of bad. It's sad because Travis Scott and a lot
super
of artists...
Super one-trick pony is what I've been saying with him, too.
That's a fair point. Travis Scott has looked up to Kanye West as like a influence for his work. And we are kind of looking at Kanye West kind of getting to collaborate with the artists that he influenced kind of rise up. And that's starting to happen. So definitely Travis Scott could have brought better game to working on his like one of his favorite artist songs for sure. That being said, there's like a little bit of a mixed reaction to it. Like a lot of people are like liking and really hyping it up. I think because Kanye fans are some of the most like lowest common denominator people. As far as like, by that I mean like, it's very easy
to please them,
someone who in 2020 considers themselves a strong Kanye West fan, in my
which
opinion.
Is hard. Anyways, Wash Us Up in the Blood. If you've ever watched There Will Be Blood, it just reminds me of Eli the pastor the entire time. And I was like, drainage, Eli, you boy.
Yeah, the video is very interesting. It's a lot there's a little like cut pieces. Mm-hmm. I recognize pieces from like different music videos. Mm-hmm. It almost kind of looks like it's very Yeezus focused. So it's very industrial, experimental, kind of like heavy rage kind of vibe thing. But he announced via Twitter, of course, that he is running for president this year in 2020. He tweeted, "We must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision, and building our future. I'm running for president of the United States, #2020vision. There's that aspect there. Friend of the show, Elon Musk, was first to...
Personal friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Elon Musk, was first to jump on the Twitter and said, you have my full support, replying to Kanye West. So good to know that he will be financially solvent. But
hippity hoppity, let's get chippity choppity.
I can break down the ramifications for what this means, actually, but, like, what are your thoughts to this kind of coming off of it?
It's just a publicity stunt. He's, like, done shit like this before. Who cares? He also has he's the most MAGA dude ever, allegedly, so just don't take him seriously. That's it. Fugazi.
That's a really good, like, sum up thing.
Pretty
I would say
much.
For it.
That's it. He doesn't know, he just, whatever.
Yeah, there's, I appreciate the restraint, because this is really annoying. We have done this podcast for a long time, and it was actually too hard for me, at least the morning of before we produced the podcast, to find the other times we've mentioned that Kanye West is thinking about running for president or considering running for president at some point, because it's something that he has continued to say to do. And it's also something that once you become a certain level of celebrity, it's just something you throw around and say sometimes just for a headline.
Because America likes electing celebrities and legend now, and you know.
Yeah. Even if he is running for president in 2020, there are some things that, like, from a political standpoint, I need to, like, game out for our listeners. I think it would be, like, a service to them to make clear. Yes.
First off, which party?
Yeah, first off, which party? Currently not sure. He wouldn't be the Democrat or Republican because they've chosen
the
nominees.
They've already chosen the nominees, exactly.
Biden and Donald Trump, respectively. You couldn't do most of the third parties because they've chosen the nominees
exactly.
as well, which kind of gets to a hierarchical level point, is that to announce that you're running for president of the United States on July 4th of election year, when the elections are in November, I mean, that's some European shit where you think the election cycles are like 3 or 4 months. I actually kind of that world. The American political system just doesn't move that quickly. And so you can't, certain states, in order to be on the ballot for president,
you have to have done that a long time ago. Yeah.
So you need to apply separately in all 50 states and territories you're planning on running. So if he can't get on the ballot everywhere, the best one could do would be to write him in as a candidate for president. That's basically his only shot. Other than the fact that, like, he does have the celebrity aspect, which is now a fact of American politics. He has a lot of money. He has the Kardashian network. He has the Elon Musk network, apparently, now, and a lot of other dumb celebrities. But here's the main crux of the point, is that this is a publicity stunt, first and foremost. Kanye West cannot seriously mount a candidacy for president that anyone will take seriously. Never mind Kanye West as a person, just like this would be true for anyone who tries to do something like this at this time, right now. And then let's slowly bring in the context. Kanye West is not a person who does deadlines or does things on time or really completes projects or can keep a lot of things in his head at once. And I'm trying to be careful because I know he's talked about, like, bipolar disorder and all these different things that are characteristic of that illness. And so I'm not saying that. I'm saying that as a president, as someone who's supposed to run a political campaign to, like, kind of get the numbers that you need, it requires work that Kanye West is, quite frankly, not physically capable of. He does not have the facilities.
Dan is looking way too much into this.
No, but, like, the sad thing is there are people online who are, like, going, oh, well, because the idea of Trump winning was, like, oh, Trump, why would he possibly win? He's talked about running for president before. He's a celebrity. Like, he was written off very early.
Ronald Reagan was a celebrity before he got elected as governor and then president. So.
Yeah, but, like, the point being is that people's opinions towards American politics, most people don't vote, and the reason they don't vote is largely believed to be just kind of like a disillusionment with the system largely.
Or they just don't pay attention.
And they don't pay attention, they don't pay attention, they don't care. But the crucial thing is no one listening to this podcast would, but don't, like, write in Kanye West for president just because you feel like, oh, the two-party system's, like, bullshit and none of it matters and I might as well just do this anyways, because that's the same thinking that got Trump elected. I don't think that, Sean's right, I don't think that even in a long situation he could ever become president even, but this is just not the time to throw away your vote or say that, like, nothing matters in this race. We've talked about stuff that's happened just in 2020 alone, but for the past 4 years, it's just, like, too serious for that. This is just to say, this is a publicity stunt. We are very clear on this. The end of Kanye West's 2020 presidential run is probably going to be about 4 to 5 sentences on Wikipedia, if he's lucky. If he does, like, continuing to fuel this publicity stunt, which is probably also the lead up to an album release. If he continues this publicity stunt and makes a bunch of mistakes and gets into a bunch of fake controversies, it's just going to spin out of control. So I'm on record. This was my warning. Don't be stupid and vote for stupid in either party or either case. Moving on, before we get into some of the sadder news, but sorry,
yeah. So Jordan Ruggs of injury reserve, he died at 32 this past week. So injury reserve, they announced on their social media, and it says rest in power. And he said, Jordan Alexander Ruggs, a loving father, life partner, and friend. No, then the cause of death hasn't been announced or anything.
Yeah,
they just started up and coming. I think they released an album last year or something.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, we talked about them in our music recommendations because I brought them up.
Exactly,
it's really interesting.
There's a lot of sounds in it, and that's what I liked about them. And even I remember Tom put Jawbreaker on one of his little radio mixes and stuff. I'm like, oh, these guys are experimental for rap, and I liked it a lot. I know they did stuff with Freddie Gibbs before, I think, as well.
Yeah. They got a song, Jailbreak the Tesla, which I know we talked about with Amine. Shout out Elon Musk. There's Jawbreaker. Yeah, there's a lot of really good work, and they're really promising. So it's definitely really
that
sad
sucks.
To hear that Jordan Groggs, rapped under the name Steppa J. Groggs, has died. Also very young.
He's only 32.
Well.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what happened, but man, that's a blow, because that was a group I was looking forward to listening to a little bit more and seeing whatever albums they had were coming out. So
yeah, the cause of death hasn't been announced yet, but artists have outpoured their
love and support
for
the family and the group.
And yeah, I hope the best for them, because this is definitely not a fun time or place to be in for that.
No, not definitely not. Speaking of RIP, so we have our first album, posthumous album for this one.
Posthumous Pop.
Posthumous Pop. So we have Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon by Pop Smoke. It's 56 minutes, 19 songs long. It's got some sounds. It has a fuck ton of features. So let me just name a lot of the features real quick. You have Quavo. You have a song, For the Night, with Lil Baby and Da Baby, which actually isn't terrible. Song,
baby on Baby Action.
You have Swae Lee. You have Quavo and Future. You have 50 Cent, Roddy Ricch. You have Tyga and Quavo.
Pause. You have Quavo times three. Because he's on here three times, which I think is probably one of the worst decisions on this album.
Yes, and I was going to get to that. But by the way, my voice is dead for any of you asking, or like, why is Sean? No. Because I yell for a living.
I think while it makes me editing the podcast to make your voice sound louder a little bit more difficult, I think the viewers and listeners will appreciate the sultriness that is added
the
to your
sultriness?
The,
right, what am I,
the voice for radio.
Or Morgan Freeman now? What am I, Jason Bentley? Coming to you live from KCRW.
I mean, if you want to, just do it at a louder voice.
I know. I can't. The first song is Bad Bitch from Tokyo, and it's one of the worst intro things I've ever heard in my entire life, and that's saying something. Holy fuck, that's a terrible opener for an album. Aim for the Moon with Quavo, it's just boring. It wasn't that great. For the Night with Lil Baby and Da Baby actually wasn't terrible. What I was surprised about, the production on that song, I thought was going to be absolute ass, but it was probably the one of the better production songs of the album.
But I'm always right. So I know how to shoot, and I know how to fight. If I tell you once, I'll tell you twice. I'm real discreet, like a thief in the night.
I'm rich, but I'm riding. I'm low on this attic. I'm about to fly out and go get me some. Nothing ain't sweet. All this money on me. 100 rats in the bag. That's 100 bun. Baby OG, I've been running these streets. Got a game from the shine on my mama's son.
Because Aim for the Moon with Quavo felt like the Fisher Price beats, as I like to call them. The three songs after that, which were just with Pop Smoke, they were okay. Nothing wild. Creature, Swae Lee, I really did not like. I don't think Swae Lee and Pop Smoke go well together.
Free Slim Jimmy.
Also, super Free Slim Jimmy, because I see Swae Lee everywhere. The fuck is Slim Jimmy, dude? He's the better part of Race Rumor. But anyways, because Swae Lee and Pop Smoke, their voices are completely different.
Now I'm on the scene. Now I'm on the scene. I made a top, I know that this dick turned that bitch to a fiend. Run up on it. You know I'm on it. It drank on me. Dragging my feet. I've been everywhere. I'm by the sea. I'm like a creature. I'm on a creek.
So it just, it didn't go well because you have
Pop Smoke's
voice.
Raspy.
Raspy, really, really low voice. And then Swae Lee's super high pitch. It like, It threw off the song a bunch.
And worse off, Swae Lee is usually known for like doing
really fast, like fast.
He's added for like, he has like sing songy hooks onto songs. Yeah, yeah, and exactly. Here he was like trying to rap more and trying to sing less, which is
not playing to his strengths.
You
at
see,
all.
It's interesting. If only if there were someone like Swae Lee who was a better rapper, who could also have maybe a brother or a relative of Swae Lee of some kind.
You know,
perhaps if was only. In a band with I don't know.
If only they made a band called Ray Swimmer, it would be really good, you know?
Anyways,
Snitching with Quavo and Future, fucking me.
That was actually of the songs on this album, I think that was the better. I think it was of the three features, it was Quavo's best feature on here.
For sure, I was gonna say Quavo's part actually wasn't terrible on it. I was like, okay, he's sounding like a normal rapper and not terrible, not like quality control Quavo. Future's part was just boring as fuck as always, but the production wasn't terrible either.
Niggas be out here snitching, snitching. Niggas be out here snitching,
Set up, pull up a memory, got Nina's attached. Walk in the building, I shake up the room. Fuck on your lady, no feelings attached. Don't talk out your mouth, cause she holding the broom. Yeah, yeah, walk in. Then walk about it. It's never a day I don't walk without it. Shoot a nigga, never talk about it. Cause these niggas be rats. I had to shoot it in class. I had them Nina's attached.
It's funny, the ones that I like figured were gonna be terrible weren't that bad. But the one that was really bad was West Coast Shit with Tyga and Quavo. I did not like that song at all.
Yeah, Tyga.
Like, it's like the bass is pretty cool in it actually, but the rest of the song, it literally has a chime that is going through the entire song and a tiny Fisher Price piano that's going on the entire time. Like, it doesn't stop for the whole song. And it's like, we on some West Coast shit. Got some West Coast bitches.
It's
like,
okay. You know, the usual.
The usual.
So what I would say about this album is that, like, if we take a step back and think about all the posthumous albums that, unfortunately, we've had to review posthumously.
Yeah, exactly.
From, like, Mac Miller to Lil Peep to Avicii to...
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of them.
There's been a lot.
We just did... I think we did a Juice WRLD thing or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's been a release, but there's been...
We've done a lot of stuff, especially the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's like we basically started Audio Phase right when the sort of phenomenon of quick release, like posthumous albums happen. Because a lot of times you have like, oh, this artist died 10 years ago, here's some music they have. That's a semi-common.
Yeah, when we talked about that before and our opinions on it, so y'all can all listen to that for sure.
Yeah,
but anyways.
There's usually two ways it goes. One is like a cynical cash grab by the people who are all around that artist looking for like money, because unfortunately the only way a song is worth more is if the artist is dead. Which has been proven consistently. Pop Smoke is like everywhere on iTunes or Apple and Spotify's charts. So it could either be that cynical cash grab, or it could be something where the artist who were collaborators with that.
They had like a backlog of, like Michael Jackson had a backlog of music that wasn't released because he didn't want it to be released, but then the family did release it anyways without permission, which we've talked about. And I don't necessarily like, because some of it's like unfinished work or whatnot. And it's like they had it unfinished and unreleased for certain reasons. So for you to release it when they're dead is kind of, I don't like that.
But at the same time, if you have something like Mac Miller, where Mac Miller was very actively working with all of these artists on
this
project.
That's a little different, because you have like, an artist who dies and it's like 10 years later then they release music. That's one thing. But I know with Mac Miller, it's like the artists work on this and it was almost done. I think Pop Smoke was similar to this because they already worked. That's why there's so many features on it. So to me, it's like, this is an okay release for a posthumous album, because they already, a lot of this work was already done and the stuff that was already going to be made was going to be produced by other people already. So it's his contributions to the album were pretty much done, more or less.
Yeah.
So that's one of those where, like, it was going to be released like this anyways. He wasn't going to necessarily hold back or had, like, a saying, like, hey, hold this back or whatnot. So that's one of the things I find that's okay to release, in my opinion.
Yeah. And less... So, yeah, you definitely got to the aspect of what happens when that artist releases the song and then what happens to the collaborators after that and what they do with it. But I was saying in my, like, thing where there are two ways to a posthumous album... that second way means those collaborators actually realize that, okay, this artist who is leading this project isn't really here anymore. How do we best respect that artist and that artist's intentions to the project? And I think that, it's always a choice that has to be made. I think the production in this is one of the better of this year, and as far as trap goes, only because they didn't they didn't overuse trap snare. Mm-hmm. It stays true to Pop Smoke style, kind of like Wanna, which if Gunna's Wanna had come out after this, it would have been considered a lame attempt to be this album.
Yes.
Because it's Gunna's
was
very
similar, where I said it was a lot of bass beats, a lot of other stuff where you had instruments in the background, but very minimal trap snares. So I call it the bass overload, where, you know, you go to the hood and the dude's blasting the bass and just like, those are these songs. Which
subwoofer in the back of the 80s caddy.
100%. And you know that subwoofer is like just bouncing and you could see the trunk vibrating.
Yeah.
But I actually...
Rattling the lead off the paint.
Oh, that's rough. You know lead paint's the best paint. But these are the albums I actually don't mind the most, because the other ones that have the trap snare and whatnot, they're so incredibly repetitive to where I just don't like it. That was my thing with this album, because like For the Night with Lil Baby and Da Baby, I was like, okay, it's probably going to be ass. And it wasn't terrible. Like the lyrics were really whack, but the production of it wasn't bad. Even the one with Future and a couple others weren't terrible. It's just the problem is a lot of the mixing of who goes with who, which pair goes with which. I think if you did that differently, then if you had different styles or different ones, then the ones that are on here would have done a little bit better because of that. The issue is that there's so many contrasting styles that just... there's no cohesion in that regard.
100%.
So it's not terrible. It's not the worst trap album. It's still not Quality Control. So, you know,
yeah.
It's not awful, but it's still not the best of this year, because we've actually had some solid rap albums, some solid trap albums this year already. So,
yeah.
But for a posthumous album, not bad at all.
Yeah. And I'll even give it to like, yeah, Rip Smoke. I'll even give it to some credit. The song Something Special had a kind of like an old school kind of flow to it, and it was produced kind of like an old school sounding song. I'm Pop Smoke, but you know all my governments. All that gangsta shit, you be loving it. She love how I'm bugging it. Shorty brown and petite, fly and discreet. A demon in the sheets. Mother was a lawyer, her father the police. They be working long hours, so she always had the free. She said I could come with her, figure hot up in the streets. Cause I'm a gorilla in the jungle and a shark up in the sea. She like, Papa, you so fire, but get up out the streets. I'm like, baby, what you mean? What you mean? Look, I think. So there's always this artist mystique of, oh, this artist was really doing unique things and they were doing something different. That gets played up a lot more, whether it's true or not,
back
when that artist
like
passes.
And stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a lot truer with Mac Miller and Lil Peep than it was with XXXTentacion and maybe Pop Smoke. But you do see a little bit of the producers trying to like take that experimentation, and I use the term quotes lightly, because it's really just like calling back to older forms of what's not pop music to do in 2020 and trap. But calling back to doing that, I saw it and noticed it, so it's pretty cool. So yeah, overall, I think this album does a good job of like respecting the memory of Pop Smoke and does what this album would have come out if he were alive pretty well. But yeah, sad to hear about it. Arbitrary scale. This week is Meltdown Musk Tweets. Anytime Elon Musk has a meltdown, usually happens in the summer, usually happens as a result of his numbers for any one of his respective companies. This time it's going to be the, I'm going to call this all the pictures of Elon Musk with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Holy
Jeffrey
shit,
Epstein's
okay.
Mistress that... Elon Musk is currently flipping out over appearing by and having all these pictures of him floating around because he might be in the ring, allegedly. You know, I mean, this picture.
This is the tweet. This is when Elon Musk had the audacity to respond to Dan's tweet a few years ago when Dan said, you need to guillotine him. And he's like, why? Because he got butt hurt from Dan. And the dude
2 years ago this month.
2 years ago this month. Yes, this month. The fact that a multi-billionaire got fucking butt hurt by Dan is beyond hilarious. It's still like, it was the reason why I'm alive today half the time. It's just like, you know, that tweet makes me happy.
Just keeps it going.
Some days when it's a bad day, you know, I just gotta scroll back or like just look it up, be like,
how long till Elon Musk gets the guillotine?
How long till Elon Musk? There we go. That was tweet. How long till Elon Musk gets the guillotine? He replied, and that was hilarious.
Not soon enough. Anyways.
Chippity choppity. Hippity hoppity. So Animal Collective, little indie band, they're changing a lot of their EP arts. They're saying that they have racist stereotypes for their EP arts. So
EP arts and EP names.
And EP names. Like, I know. There's a title, Here Comes the Indian, which I actually did like that one. They're now calling it The Ark or Ark.
Yeah. That was a 2003 EP. They're acknowledging that, like, they're basically saying that, like, regarding Here Comes the Indian, they wrote, with utmost respect to indigenous people, we feel that having the word Indian in our record title sends the wrong message by objectifying the American Indian people, which is not what we are intending with the music. So the album will now be called ARC, and they're going to send royalties to Ceding Sovereignty, which goes to indigenous groups. Yeah. The other thing was they have an EP, People, that was released in 2006. The cover is like a black nanny and two white children animated in possibly the most racist way possible.
It's pretty bad.
and Animal Collective, to their credits, admitted. They say, there's no excuse to using a mammy on our artwork, so we have decided to remove it. We understand now that using a racist stereotype at all causes more damage than an explanation can repair, and we apologize. So it's not to think that, it's not to think the Animal Collective was, like, racist when they did it.
No, they're just trying to be artistic or something, and they just they're being just too white and just not thinking about it.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
So fair play, you apologize and change it.
Cool. They're apologizing it, they're changing it, and they are making like financial sort of reparations in that way. I think this is a pretty good way to kind of apologize and make amends for it.
That's like no offense to that. Like,
right? Yeah, that also worth mentioning. They are released a new EP, Bridged to Quiet, also on Bandcamp to kind of go along and work with all these things. So that should be cool.
I can't open the story for some reason.
Okay, I can do it.
Yeah. But I know what it was.
Yeah. So Ryan Adams is a country singer, rock country, yeah, for sure. Alternative country artist. And it came out about a year ago that there are these like sexual misconduct allegations. Specifically, women in the music industry were saying that...
he's doing bad things.
Bad things specifically more like using his advanced role in the music industry to exploit younger women and artists who are coming up saying, you know the old classic... Chris D'Ila in the sense of like you're predatory.
You're a super predator. Underage girls. Yeah.
But
using your platform for that. Using
your platform in an industry to promise to other artists coming up in that industry that you can give them an edge so long as you like help them in some way, usually implied to be something sexual.
Yeah, which is, man.
Really
terrible. I hate males.
Adam's ex-wife, Mandy Moore, and singer-songwriter Phoebe Bridgers are among the artists who are accusing him of doing that. And in response, this was all a year ago, by the way, the allegations came out. Adams wrote an essay recently about this week. He said, all I can say is that I'm sorry. It's that simple. This period of isolation and reflection made me realize that I needed to make significant changes in my life. I've gotten past that point where I would be apologizing just for the sake of being let off the hook. And I know full well that any apology from me probably won't be accepted by those I've hurt.
All right, fair play.
He says maybe because there are like allegations that are ongoing in court. He didn't confirm or deny anything,
probably,
but he said
because
that like,
of that. Yeah. You need to be careful. Your lawyer's like standing over you like, what are you writing?
Yeah. he wants to be a part of the healing process that goes into it. And so like, this is a weird case. You could definitely look on the one hand, like why did it take you a year to do this and say this? On the other hand, it seems and appears really like he's thought about this. He's understood this. He's had to like really think about this. So I think and the reason I put the story there is in all these conversations about like who gets... canceled that word or whatever. There's always nothing really happens after
There's the Kevin Spacey of just like
that. Kevin Spacey like I'm gonna triple down.
He's gonna quadruple down. And you're like, oh yeah, we gotta get rid of that dude. And there's other ones who like maybe they don't realize what they're doing is just like really hurting people per se. They're just thinking in their own self interests, which is what 90% of humans do,
especially men.
Especially males, and you know the most fragile thing is male ego. So, so then it's one of those things that then once it's getting out, and then you realize you've hurt people that maybe you genuinely care about. You're like, oh fuck, I messed up, and more males need to do that because.
Yeah.
They need to figure that shit out. Like fair play to actually sitting down and be like, dude, I know I fucked up and whatever. Like, before, if I said I did this, I would have, like, done it on my own self-interest. But now being, like, stuck by myself and my own thoughts, like, okay, I really messed up and I need to change, which is all right.
Yeah, with less of an incentive to prepare,
do it for his own self-good and then to more of the people he's hurt and be like, hey, like, I gotta either fix this or do whatever I need to do. If that means, like... completely just like not talking to people or like actually helping them, then that's what you do.
Yeah, and so, like with Animal Collective, it all depends on like what they do afterwards with the apology.
Big time.
As well.
Yes. It's just, so we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Second album review of this week is Fetch the Bolt Cutters by Fiona Apple. It is 13 songs long, 51 minutes. Came out in mid-April.
Yes.
A lot of music was happening, so we didn't have much of a time to really like get into it, really dig into it. But this is a properly, it's gotten a lot of like critical acclaim. I have some
We have opinions.
Yeah, a variety of opinions on it. But like, this is a fundamentally, having listened to this all the way through now, maybe 3 or 4 times, just really enjoyable playthrough.
It's good. One of the more enjoyable playthroughs like, of an album. It's that folk Americana that a lot of people have missed. Like, when they've tried it, they've missed the sound, per se. A lot of, especially female singer-songwriters that we've listened to, they've, a lot of them have tried and missed. This is, like, a hit for that style of genre. Because it's not a genre I enjoy, per se. I really don't like it. It's very few folk stuff or Americana things I enjoy at all. But this is good. This is solid in that, for that genre. I really like the start, I Want You to Love Me. I think that's, like, a perfect thing, because that's the gorgeous acoustic piano that you can tell, like, the cover on top of it's an upright piano. You can hear that it's taken off, so, like, I appreciate that.
The little details.
The little details, exactly. And, like, the lyrics in it, you can really feel the emotion into that song, and that kind of sets up the album. There's a couple stuff that, like, it can feel a little flat at times, but that's just the genre in general, because it's chill. It keeps you, like, planted, like, firmly planted into it, which is just something that, like, that's my personal taste, so I'm not, like, putting it down onto her artwork at all. Shamika, the song right after that, I liked it. It was kind of funny because it was just like, I guess maybe it's a friend named Shamika or something. Yeah. It was just like trying to help her out within it when you're listening to the lyrics. So that was pretty cool. Fetch the Bolt Cutters was good. Under the Table might be my favorite song on the album. I do enjoyed that one a little bit more. I wouldn't say it's a little more upbeat, but I did enjoy that one a bit more coming into it.
Don't you shush me, keep me under the table all you want. I won't shut up, I won't shut up. Keep me under the table all you want. I won't shut up, I won't shut up. Kick me under the table all you want. I won't shut up, I won't shut up.
Enjoy that one a bit more coming into it.
The sound of the songs in these albums, they're very softly spoken. Sometimes it's sometimes it's spoken word, but a lot of time it's just like sung, often softly, but still like not lacking any passion.
No, not, which is very, very hard to do. Because when I've heard her stuff before, and some of it I like, some of it didn't. This is also her first album in what, 7 or 8 years, maybe? It's been a while.
Yeah, I know of Fiona Apple, but I've not seen a lot of Fiona Apple stuff lately.
Yeah, because when I, like, the first track, I Want You to Love Me, that's a song you could easily mess up by losing all of the characteristics by doing a softer voice, but that's one thing that's hard to control is the emotion in it and be able to do it, which she definitely did.
Yeah, she wrangles that super well. The highlight of the album for me is a little bit further down from Under the Table, Newspaper. I think it kind of gets at everything. It's definitely one of the, if you tend to know my preference for songs, it's one of the higher tempo songs in the album. And it does something that's a lot of music, it's been really understated, but I really like that a lot of music has done this recently, where you take a song on a journey and you start it kind of slow and small and then it builds up, but even that build up is not some like big loud all the sounds
like
happening all the time.
Crescendo.
It's just like I'm gonna add all these different, it really does a good album, different bits of percussion or like different instruments kind of coming up and just presenting themselves for the first time kind of triumphantly. Newspaper does that really well, and yeah, you get that soft but passionate really voice that Fiona Apple is just nailed to a T. It was a really pleasurable song, kind of album to listen to for me, but I felt like around after Newspaper, that being a high point, everything else after that kind of glided down and didn't fully live up to the rest of what the album
that
had going
was
on.
That was definitely my complaint.
Lyrically, I think there's a lot there, and I think there's a lot of really good things there, especially in Ladies and Cosmonauts. But yeah, you just kind of wish that the lyrics also went well in the first part of the album, but the first part of the album had the instrumentals to back it up with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the second half to me is where it really, again, it got flat, and that's where I kind of, I wouldn't say super zoned out of the album, but that's where I sort of lost interest, but that's my preference with genre. So I really had to sit down and be like, okay, I want to get through it and like give it like an honest review in that regard. Because the first half of the album I did enjoy. A couple of the songs I will definitely listen to again, but that second half of the album, I think there's one thing with this genre, you have to, I would maybe have condensed it a little bit more, if anything, but it's also one of those things that's hard because you haven't released music in 7 years, so you have so much work that you want to put out. But that's one thing where I always like it shorter for these, because I think you won't lose interest towards the end of it or whatnot. And that's like there's a lot of genres and stuff that I prefer it to be a little bit shorter compared, because I always, like, I prefer the feeling of wanting more than feeling having too much.
Absolutely.
Maddie Healy, I'm looking at you too.
Absolutely. I can amen to that. But yeah, it is largely a good album, one of the better projects of the year.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the balance. It's like with Pop Smoke. I would have wanted it to be a shorter album. I definitely would have said that in the review. But it's a posthumous album. So
how can you do that?
It's a little more of wiggle room. Yeah. But yeah, Arbitrary Scale this week, of course, Meltdown Musk. This is that time about a month ago when Elon Musk, because he loves to dance on the line more than I do, tweeted that SEC has a different acronym meaning, the Securities and Exchange Commission. Could also mean, he basically implied it also means suck Elon's cock.
Yes. Which is hilarious.
Which is funny when you tell the people who are currently investigating you. Definitely using your Twitter account to manipulate
the
stock price.
Was, I was going to say, anyways, that this tweet was the tweet that even started that all, where he fucked with the whole Tesla stocks.
The original
funding secured for Tesla, and is like,
and taking Tesla private at 420 a share. That's the one.
That's the tweet. And that's just, he's like, just like the feds coming in a helicopter, crashing, just Tesla.
Yeah. Elon Musk may not have any houses anymore because he's like sold all of them to try to get liquid, but SEC's still gonna find that shit.
So Spotify, they launched a couples version of a subscription. So they've already done like a family one, because that's what I have, so I know they have that.
And they have a student one.
He's riding that gravy train.
Combine it with Hulu and get Spotify and Hulu for $5 a month.
Yeah, which is like clutch, especially when you're a broke college student, helps. But anyway, so they're doing a new premium program where it's going to be Duo for $12.99, because I think the normal subscription is $9.99. Yeah, normal one is $9.99 a month. So if you have two, like you're just a couple,
in a committed relationship, or you would like to make your non-committed relationship a lot more interesting, you could both subscribe to Spotify Duo. And I think that the main part of this, because I think this is new, because I don't think family plans do this, but if you're in a Spotify premium Duo plan, then you'll also get a playlist that'll be called the Duo Mix, and it'll be a mix of both of your songs, which I think is where the divorces start.
I don't know what the hell I'm gonna say. That's gonna be either brilliant for some people and then horrible for others. It's gonna be like, it's, there's no middle ground. It's gonna be one or the other, because I would love to do that with Vanessa. I'd be like, hey, cool. Like, let me see. Like, because we like showing each other music. It'd be like a really cool mix. It'd be broad as fuck, but it'd be cool to see that. Then other people, I'd be like,
counterpoint. Who the fuck were you listening to this song?
Exactly. That was gonna say the counterpoint. The Alexis I divorced. Be like, who are you listening to The Weeknd with? Like, what was you doing on Tuesday night? Yeah. I saw that you were listening to this song. What was you doing?
Like I said,
what are you wearing?
If you are khakis, like I said, if you are a nihilistic kind of person and you love to watch the cars crash, you should definitely get this in your relationship and just see what happens. And this is why you don't take relationship advice from me. Moving on.
To a lighter note, so Maroon 5 bassist Mickey Madden, he's arrested for intimate partner violence, which, first off, I don't think I've ever heard of that before, intimate partner violence.
It's a newer term for domestic violence.
Or as English say, they're having a little domestic. But anyways, so more male violence. I guess he was arrested Saturday on felony charges for IPV, and the LA shares, their database confirmed the news.
He's
also posted on $50,000 bail, which
he was released. Yeah,
he was released on $50,000 because he can afford that, no problem.
Naturally, he was cited with a part of the penal code, a felony charge that results when you inflict an injury on a spouse or cohabitant and leave them in a traumatic condition.
Yeah.
That's very vague. It can include emotional trauma. It can include physical trauma.
There's a lot.
So there's definitely more details here.
They haven't released anything yet.
Really. Yeah. Not great from Maroon 5. It's not the first not great thing from Maroon 5. It happened in a while, but
males.
Fuck them.
Anyways, moving on to some better news, which is finally get to review this album. I've been waiting for months. We have Yvie's Tumor, Heaven to a Tortured Mind, which came out in early April. 12 songs, 36 minutes long. Jesus Christ, this is what an album.
It's quite interesting. So
I freaking love it.
Yvie's Tumor, the context. Has been making music since they were 18. I'm using they/them pronouns because they're gender non-conforming. But
But they're definitely gender non-conforming because definitely.
Yeah, you'll look at their appearance and then you'll also of course
they're very avant-garde, and that's you can hear it in their music as well. But it's very very unique, and I like that.
Yes, So Yvie's has had a history of making this experimental, like, avant-garde music, and I haven't heard the previous stuff because I first heard of Yvie's Tumor this year when Heaven to a Tortured Mind came out, and we talked about it in the music recommendations episode. But
I've been listening to them for a while.
So. Yeah.
Because my first was Safe in the Hands of Love, because I heard Noid, which is a single that came out, and I was like, whoa, this is, like, it's mixing pop with EDM with punk rock all together into one sound in that one song. I was like, I've never heard this before in my life, and I've listened to a lot of weird experimental music throughout my life, and I go, this is different, and I really love this. It was my second most listened to song in 2018. Sorry, third most listened to song in 2018, behind Love of You Made in Star Treatment.
Damn.
So you know it's up there with my favorites ever. I'm not surprised, because in the summer when it came out, I literally listened to that show on a repeat, listened to that album that came out, and I go, holy fuck, this is really good. And I was waiting for them to release a new album, and it came out, so...
Yeah, this album I would describe a lot as like a couple of artists whose like sounds are similar that I felt in this album. There's a little bit of Neon Indian in there.
Very early Tame Impala, for sure. If you go, or even some of the stuff on Currents, where it's that more like really raw guitar tones, because I was going to say Gospel for a New Century is like a perfect opening track for it. That's a pretty experimental track. And then you go into Medicine Burn, Identity Trade, which are both into that... kind of like if you gave a few people a shit ton of drugs, give them like a raw Telecaster with like a drum machine in the back, and you said go crazy, that's the song you'd make, and it's a perfect little song. It's like, again, it sounds like early Tame Impala, but a lot more experimental in that regard, just raw, and I love that.
Medicine Burn
is like boom.
Medicine Burn in particular reminds me, like Medicine Burn could have been ripped from a practice session from In Rainbows, because it sounds like it could be Bangers and Mash almost.
Yeah, similar. Something like that.
Like, it's a similar, like, Telecaster, just all just, out, just very hard rock and bass thing. Not too much time signature messing around, not that radio heady, but just really interesting
and
with that.
Great.
Great callbacks to older classic rock music like that, but yeah, done in a super fresh way.
Identity Trade came after that, and it's like similar into it, but then his their vocals go down into it, and it's more of like almost like a spoken word type vocal into it, and it's fantastic. It still wraps it up, and then you go into Kerosene, which is one of my favorite tracks of this year. Definitely gonna be nominated for Song of the Year, because my god, what a track that is. Will you be my fantasy, little baby? You're just what I need. Yeah. It's this beautiful vocal ballad between two people, and it's the production of it. This is, again, we had this conversation years ago saying, where is rock going to go? Where is it? Like, it has to either go into an experimental route or an indie route, and this is
or die.
Or dies. And this is the run route where I'm like, dude, this album has every single piece, like, and almost every genre you can put into an album is into this at some point. There's going to be parts for everybody where almost anybody can like this, per se.
Parts of Kerosene remind me of Prince, which is not something I say.
The guitar part, I was going to say that. Guitar parts of Kerosene, the little solos into it, like, it gave me chills the first time I listened to it, because the girl vocal is like, you can give me a real life sugar, and you just hear the guitar solo in the background, and then just echoes around. It's almost like the Beatles experimenting in the 60s with the vocals that go around you. There's no one can do that, really. But my God, that track is just incredible. I don't know why more people, like, I remember Pitchfork released it and saying how good it was, but there's some people that were like, were on the fence of it. I'm like, dude, no, this is ridiculously good. Yeah. And I try not to say that much, but it's incredible. You guys need to listen to it. Has Dallin Lights, right, the song right after it, then it gets way more into that experimental, more of that neon Indian style, like early neon Indian, like Psychic Charm style, yeah. Early Tori Ma, that chill wave of beat, but with a little bit more raw.
In reading about Yves Tumor, they specifically describe themselves as being post chill wave, which I like that they have.
Which that's perfect, that because that's what it sounds. It exactly sounds like post chill wave in some of their music, because they make a sound that is similar to it, but it broadens it out, and it's way more raw, because the thing with chillwave is a lot of it, depending on what, some Neon Indian was like really raw too, but like Tori Amos stuff was then quite produced but good in its way, but it confined it into one thing. Yves does it to where it just broadens it out, and then you have like Romanticist right after, which again keeps doing that. You have Dream Palette, which then goes back into kind of combining the two, which I've never heard of in my life either. I'm like, how does one do this? You go down, Superstars, okay track. Maybe it was a little bit of a low point at Superstars. And then the last four tracks after that were fantastic. Yeah. I really, really like Strawberry Privilege, the third to last song, and then A Greater Love at the ending. Perfect, perfect ending to wrap up the album, because it calls back to all of the themes of it. It calls back to all the sounds that you had earlier, because the first about four or five songs are kind of that punk rock EDM-ish mix into one, and then the rest of it was more really experimental. But that song wraps it up by combining all of it into one track, which I don't know how the hell you do it and make it sound cohesive, but they did it.
Very good. And very good album. Very good ending.
And one of the things that I always say with experimental music, it's hard to show it off to people because it's not very accessible to a lot, unless you're a big musical. Like a lot of Björk, I can't show it to a lot of people because they won't understand it necessarily, which is fine. Like, it's not for everybody's cup of tea. But this is one of those to where I think this now can get a different group of fans into completely different styles of music and be like, oh, or I hope, my big hope, is that it inspires more artists, like maybe more indie artists, to then start experimenting with a bunch of other music to try and keep the rock genre alive, but to push it forward into it. So there's a lot that this album could do, but my God, it's one of my favorites of this year by far.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You super wanted to put this on our, like, give it a proper review, not just talk
exactly,
about it.
Exactly, because I thought this was getting released in the summertime when I heard when Kerosene came out, because they released the singles like 2 weeks before the album. So I messed up in that regard, because I was like, oh, okay, Kerosene came out, literally this and that's on a repeat for a week. And I was like, okay, cool. I think I read an article, I was like, okay, they'll come out in like June. Oh, cool, I'll write it down for June. And then I realized in May, I was like, and I remember I looked back onto that and I was like, wait, there's an album. And I go, fuck. Wow. And I looked at it, I was like, we cannot put it. There's too much coming on out in April. I'm like, there's no way. So I'm like, whenever we have a lull, the first thing that we need to review this. That's why I also did it as music recommendations, because I'm like, I got at least throw it in there.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
Absolutely. This is, I love kind of peeling back the curtain of what goes into an audio face episode.
So yeah,
that's kind of like agonizing over like, what can we review and what is good and what else is good,
like,
and what can we bring on.
Yeah. So I'll just name it right now. So far, my three like the albums are just, it's interesting. I'll put it like in a mark, because it's about, you know, halfway through the year now, because we're in July. The three albums I listened to the most this year are that one, Eva's Tumor, you have Tame Impala's, and Caribou. Those are the three I've listened to the most this year by far.
That's strong. I wouldn't know my most listened to music.
I go to sleep with music on a lot, so whenever I'm done with the podcast, I usually go back to something I've already listened to a bunch, because I try to wipe my brain until the next one when we start reviewing too.
Yeah.
But those are the ones when, like, you can look into your history of listening to music and say, oh, these are things that you've listened to a lot or whatever, like Jump Back In or whatever. And those three albums are almost always consistently up there. Basically, Tame Impala and Yves are definitely the two most. Caribou, a third. But those are the three for this year for sure.
It's definitely a good.
So, which is 2020.
This is a good year. Music only.
It's a great year of music. And yeah. Anyways, Arbitrary Scale.
Musk, Meltdown Musk tweets.
This is when he called Ken Klippenstein a shitty journalist, even though that dude goes hard in the paint for journalizing. But he was sad. He was like shaken up that he was started to get put out posts and say, hey, everybody needs to start tweeting this, that he was kind of involved in the pedal ring. We need to find all this stuff.
Allegedly.
Out. Allegedly, exactly. And as a good journalist, you're like, dude, we could just pound this out so that way more people can get the information. And Musk got butthurt and told him bad journalists.
And a friend of the show, Ken Klippenstein, I do know him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we have crossed paths at TYT.
That's true.
And he is, first of all, just like, nicest boy. But second of all, like, he knows better than a lot of other journalists do, is that you can use Twitter as like a water cooler if you want to, or you can use Twitter to accelerate your journalism.
Which is what
he was trying to do, is like
accelerate, put it up to where then more people start investigating it and more people get into it, and that's how you get stories out a little bit quicker as well.
Because, like, of course Ken Klippenstein knows he's like trolling Elon Musk to some extent
for sure.
With like tokes in the picture, but like,
and
also
hilarious.
It's causing him to like, it's putting his feet to the fire. It's the same reason why I used my time to talk to Elon Musk about, like, when he reached out to me, was, hey, the pedo guy thing, which is an interesting tidbit that I'm sure will be relevant later, because he got into a lawsuit calling that one guy a pedophile. And then that second part was the way he treats his employees. just a quick parting shot. Tesla said that their Fremont factory in California, they wanted to defy their closures. The state's like closures because of coronavirus.
Yeah, they did that.
And they wanted to continue making cars. Yep. Tesla told their employees that they didn't feel comfortable coming to work, that they
which
could.
Is fair.
Yeah, this is totally fair, because you live with people who could spread the virus.
Exactly.
You don't have to. Turns out Tesla decided to fire all the workers who decided not to show up.
Which is
a classic Elon move.
And I'm pretty sure it's actually a breach of contract in that part. But anyways.
That's for OSHA to figure out. This is not the OSHA podcast.
Exactly.
What this is the podcast for is Sigur Rós CBD tinctures.
So Yonzi of Sigur Rós, he's been doing a bunch of like CBD stuff in general, where he really likes to explore a lot of that stuff. And I know been wanting to... and he's been wanting to like release stuff for people, because I know he does a lot of like CBD incense and stuff to help. And he actually had coronavirus, Yonzi, and he said that one of his things when he had it was he lost his sense of smell for a while, and I was like, hey, same boat, bud. But then when he came back, when his sense of smell came back after he recovered, he was doing a lot of his incense and stuff, and he wanted to do things to help people. So right now they teamed up with Avana Collective to offer two cannabis-based products, Tile Sleep and Wake. One is obviously Help You Sleep, and it helps with, I guess, dream cycles, which will be interesting to see how that works. And then Wake, which is boost activeness and energy, so like a more bettable five hour energy, you know, the better supplements.
Yeah, I would. So, being the audio face cannabis correspondent.
Here we go, druggy Dan.
It sounds like sleep / wake are like the classic like sativa versus indica kind of like strain differences, but that doesn't really matter in CBD, because CBD is taking the non psychoactive parts of the cannabis plant and using that usually
the
for healing
properties,
purposes.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're definitely not going to get like, your mileage may vary, so I'm not a doctor, but like, it's not going to be like the super in the couch sleep kind of sleep thing, nor is it going to be a 5 hour energy wake up boost. But for those who like are aware of like the effects that CBD or cannabis type things can happen for sleeping or staying awake and being creative and productive.
It'll
be similar in that vein.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it'll be one of those things where like it'll help activate the brain a little bit more for the awake stuff. Because I read a bunch of things before about CBD stuff that'll help with that. And I was interested to see how it'll work for a bunch of different avenues of workers for it. Because I think it'll be a healthier alternative than energy drinks and other shit that will poison you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not sure if it is as strong as an energy drink.
It shouldn't be as strong.
5,000% more healthy.
Exactly.
And we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. I promise we're not going to do any more deaths in the end unless I can like make a song to go out for it. But like, no more death corner at the end. We're going to end Audio Face on a fun note, goddammit.
And the best one is Ice Baby 7. So Vanilla Ice, he canceled the 4th of July concert. Because the health officials canceled it, called the rapper, or called him to be like, hey, dude, cancel the fucking performance.
So, enter Lake Travis, Texas. There's a place at Lake Travis, Texas called the Emerald Point Bar and Grill. Sounds like Outback Steakhouse, but like literally anywhere else right. In this country. And Vanilla Ice was scheduled to headline the Independent Day throwback beach party. It was an expected crowd of 2,500 people, but yeah, the Travis County Health Department in Texas went to Vanilla Ice, or called Vanilla Ice, and they were like, in case you didn't know, there's a thing called coronavirus that's going
and
on.
You can't. You
in
just
case you didn't know, this is the United States, where like it is happening the worst in the world, arguably in the United States right now. We can't have you having a concert, so please
don't. That is the last thing on earth you need to do right now, bud.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice's response, he heeded the calls, he canceled the concert. He said, I listen to my fans, I hear people out there, I didn't know the numbers were so crazy. We just want to stay safe, we do take it seriously, and we want to make sure everyone stays safe, have a good 4th of July, etc. God, give me the disassociative abilities of Vanilla Ice.
I wish I could disconnect that.
Wow.
How do you not know? Okay.
Like, it's, and we talk about celebrities being out of touch all the time. But like,
I'm out of touch.
But, like, with coronavirus since March, and you didn't know the numbers were this crazy. Yo.
Every other artist on Earth has canceled their performances, except Bjork, because Iceland rules.
I would love to dissociate the way Vanilla Ice does.
Yep. Alright, so what does it mean to play us out? Thank you for listening. This has been Audio Face 148. If you want to follow us on all social medias, you better do it, damn it. We are at Audio Face Pod on all the socials. Do it. Do all the stuff.
YouTube.audioface.show for our YouTube
channel.
He's
doing a lot more of that, posting a lot more.
Make sure you subscribe.
Make sure you talk shit on our stuff as well, because it makes me laugh. It is legit funny to me.
Yeah, leave comments. We actually, I do reply to most of the comments, and I will bring Sean in if need be. So yeah, feel free to comment. We will talk.
You can follow me at SW Suarez on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Dan at Dan from the web on Twitter and Dan from the internet on Instagram. He's gonna have his video up sometime, so this week.
I might drop a little teaser for it in the podcast feed too.
Okay, so yeah, Dan from the internet 2020, right?
Yeah, whichever. It's the 20th on. Video. I'm not gonna release the name yet, but
okay, Dan from the internet 20. Whatever it is, will be out, so pretty sure to listen to that, because literally his room is on fire by how much it's been cooking in here. Trust me, I know. And yeah, have a wonderful day. And
have a wonderful week. We'll be back next week with more music of some kind, and you know where to find us. Cheers.
Bye.